This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Are there areas in this round two that you see being tricky for the jury to understand the depths of the points being made and the legitimacy of them from being literal legal arguments that have things that back it to just theories like he went into the house and got beat up without really any sort of evidence to point to that other than it being a theory?
Well, Tony, I think the biggest muddle that this jury is going to face is Proctor. Mm-hmm. And I say that because what he said is completely unprofessional. It's completely against our rules of ethics and everything else. But it had nothing to do with tampering with the evidence. Everybody's looked at this now, not only the FBI and the grand jury, but now they did an audit as mm-hmm. well. Nothing was done that had to do with tampering or putting evidence in a case where it didn't exist. I think they're going, though, to paint him as such a villain and having made his mind up that the jury is really going to have to decide, no matter how much they dislike him and don't agree with what he did, that it didn't really affect any facts.
Mm-hmm.
No facts were altered because of him. That's the point. And will they be able to see through that? Or will this be a Mark Furman? You're saying the N-word word is OJ really guilty? And forget about all the blood evidence. Forget about the motive. Forget about mm-hmm. all the evidence they had in that case. Look at what Mark Furman said out of his mouth.
Sure. Well, and it doesn't help Karen, though, the fact that she's like comparing herself to OJ.
I've been doing it since day one.
The fact that she's out there and now willingly stating to the effect of, I would have been cheering for OJ back then. It's just like, shut up. Just if you want to be free, shut up. Like, this is not going to help your case at all. Like, I get what you're saying, but shut up. This doesn't help you in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, I mean, she's really relying on the same situation, a jury nullification situation to set her free. So she's supporting another jury mm-hmm. nullification person, So
let's talk about Proctor a little bit. And I know that the audit came back and people will argue and say, well, the audit was by whatever. I mean, people can argue whatever they want to argue. I'm not arguing about the audit. It is what it is. But what about just by omission in terms of the and not even necessarily like holding back evidence on purpose, but just not doing a thorough investigation? Because that's a big part of this. I mean, there are so many spots in this thing where a lot of questions could be answered had they actually done their job properly, had this been investigated the way that it should have. But we did clearly see a bias from him early on and his opinion of Karen Reed. And I feel like that played into a bit of, we got this, she's going to go down and all that. Well, maybe you should have done a more thorough investigation to back up your feelings that she should go down, because you didn't. And now that's not there and we can't go back in time. And you're a dick from everything that you've said, and you're not going to play well to a court. I'm not talking about planting evidence or anything improper here. I'm talking about just the fact that he shows his attitude. He shows his disdain for Karen Reed, to put it lightly. And then just such a sloppy investigation on top of it. That's not good, especially when there's so many pieces that are kind of up in the air here of what actually did happen. When you show your lead investigator had such disdain and hatred for the woman, doesn't play well. Even if you can't prove that any sort of evidence was planted, or maybe there just wasn't anything that was planted or messed with, but you didn't do a thorough job. Can you convict somebody on that if the investigation wasn't thorough?
Well, let's talk about that, Tony, because we're really looking at this under a microscope, and that's been the narrative, right?
Mm-hmm.
Completely not thorough. Again, in my belief, a lot of people really discounting what that blizzard meant to conducting a crime scene investigation.
Mm-hmm.
2 foot of snow, evidence buried, working under those conditions with hailing winds. I mean, you've seen the pictures of the flag and of the, when they couldn't even keep the crime scene tape up. The big faults I see, they should have had a vehicle to guard that scene, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But remember, they were so convinced by the obvious evidence that was at the scene that this was an MVA, a motor vehicle accident investigation, not some sort of, and still that would be still criminal, but not a larger situation. They had no probable cause to search the house of Brian Albert. Could they have asked him for a consent search? Well, they did go in there.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't see anything disheveled. They didn't see, you know, blood marks of somebody being drug across the floor. They didn't see marks of a fight on Brian Albert. I mean, they didn't see any signs of any struggle happening in that house. And what was explained to them, which was, again, Brian Albert's 20-year-old son, I think he was turning 22, having 10 or 11 people over to have a beverage between midnight and 1.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this was not a blowout party by any means. And so all those factors, how many houses are they going to search? Should the people across the street have gotten up and gone out? Should the people cattywampus who, you know, he was laying right on the corner of their yard too. Nobody got up.
That's a good point.
Everybody is asleep in the dead of night.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point, because that's one of the things I feel like, had there been more of an investigation of the Albert's house, you know, just to check the box at the very least. But then you get into the territory of, okay, well, Proctor's the lead investigator. Even if they did find something odd in there, would it be reported? Would it be investigated? Just judging by the character of what we know of Proctor and his disdain for Reed. And I can understand the disdain for Reed. I mean, she's triggering, as I feel like she's a narcissist, and she reminds me of people I've dated and had a horrible relationship.
I'm sorry, Tony.
You know, it is. I mean, I mean, I'm not a psychologist, but my personal opinion, a raging narcissist, and they have certain tendencies. They all do to certain extents. That's why my graphic here says Karen Reed and her flying monkeys, because that's a term that's used quite a bit when people end a relationship with a narcissist. They send out their flying monkeys. And it's not really involving death. It is involved breaking up with someone, but that person can never take accountability. So they have all these people go out there and do their bidding and say horrible things and really frame the narcissist as the hero when, you know, it's the other way around, or there is no hero. It's just you broke up, but he's dead. But it feels like she did that sort of process with a dead man, which makes it even creepier. Anyway, I digress. But you go down that road of, okay, what if Proctor and the investigation, would they have said anything? Would this have gone deeper had there been anything? Or how thoroughly do you investigate? But you do have a good point there, too. Should they have looked at the other homes right in the area as well? Because we all focus on the one home. You know, if he got hit or something happened, I think it would be a fair argument to say maybe you should look at all of them, but I do completely understand you're not looking at this from that perspective at that moment in time. So it's an easy one to Monday morning quarterback, but not so much in the moment where you're not thinking of this as a murder.
Exactly. She's saying, I hit him from multiple witnesses who have no dog in the fight.
Sure.
Pun intended there, right? You got the paramedic who came off so honest. And then they tried to point out, well, why did you write that in your report?
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you why. Because that's not his job.
Yeah.
His job in his report is to report his medical findings.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he also needed to report to them that she said that, which he did.
Mm-hmm.
And multiple other medics that were on duty and police officers said similar things. And, of course, the other witnesses, the civilian witnesses, Jim McCabe that was there. And so... Carrie Roberts. So this was all reported. This was not a difficult case. You got a broken taillight.
Mm-hmm.
You have a man with what they know are raccoon eyes from a fractured skull from hitting that hard pavement.
Yeah.
His phone is beneath him. He hasn't moved. There's no drag marks. There's no signs of him being in a fight.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but what they took were scratches. said, well, you know, how can we explain that? And they made up a narrative. That's what I believed happened. Yeah. And I think Proctor, his mind couldn't go there.
Yeah.
That an ATF agent, a 30-year cop and a minor and a dog somehow attacked this guy.
Because it makes no sense.
You see how far-fetched? It makes no sense. So I understand why that was never in his mind and why also you have somebody, Tony, that killed a police officer. And even though all lives matter, obviously, for a police officer, it can be taken even a little bit more personally.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's why he used some of those expletives.
Not an excuse, but an understanding of behavior of how some would react.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.